Legislation creating a committee to address the future of mining in Michigan is moving forward in Lansing. The measure, introduced by 109th District State Representative Sarah Cambenzi, would create a 15-member panel known as the Committee on Michigan's Mining Future to develop safe and sustainable mining strategies for the state. Stay tuned as we discuss the legislation and its impacts with the bill's sponsor, as well as representatives from state government and two of the UP's major mining operations. It's coming up next, right here on WNMU's Media Meet. Hello and welcome to Media Meet. I'm your host, Walt Lindela. Joining me today on the panel is 109th District State Representative Sarah Cambenzi, Mike Prusy, Director of Governor Gretchen Whitmer's Northern Michigan Office, Clifford Smith, the Chief Operating Officer of Cleveland Cliffs Michigan Operations, and Matt Johnson, Manager of External Relations at Eagle Mine. Welcome to the program. Sarah, I'd like to start with you. Can you tell me a little bit about what this legislation, what is the Committee on Michigan's Mining Future?
Sure. What we wanted to do was create a 15-member panel appointed by the governor that would take a long-term strategic look at where are we with mining in our state, where do we want to go, and where are we falling short?
This legislation, how did it come to be to create this committee? Where did this come from as an idea?
I think the idea started with several of us looking at the idling of the Empire Mine, and when that hit our state, I think several of us got together and said, what can we do as a state to help kind of facilitate and grow the industry and make sure that we're in the 21st century of mining rather than just relying on what we've done in the past?
So when you look at it, what is the overall charge of this committee? What would it be doing in more specific ways to keep this going?
Sure. They're going to be charged with looking at what is our tax structure? How well do we permit mines and do we do it with environmental responsibility? Are we making sure that the groundwater is safe? And then are we competitive? We know that our economy is very similar to Minnesota's. We know that they have actually implemented this committee about 15 years ago. And when we look at the returns they've gotten from bringing a committee together to advise the governor, they've been able to really make some big investments and bring everyone along with them while they do it.
So you mentioned Minnesota, that this is a concept that actually is out there already in the industry. What is the success? How has it worked in Minnesota?
I think what you've seen is, with mining being one of the most capital-intensive industries, you're not making a decision just for 1 or 2 years, but it's actually a long-term investment that these companies have to make. So if you're going to invest in and have a plan going forward for 20 or 30 years, you want guarantees, you want certainty, and you also want to know that the state is going to help you be there to reinvest in your company to make sure you're successful.
How is a return on investment in something like this calculated?
I think you can look at, what are the energy needs? How well are we connected? How well can we offer long-term competitive energy agreements? How is our infrastructure? Do we have rail connections? Are we competitive with permitting, as I've said? Mm-hmm. But even tax structure. In Minnesota, they are able to take a small portion of the taxes paid and put them back into an environmental fund, as well as an economic development fund that those companies can actually match funding to and then use it at major universities such as University of Minnesota to do research on pellet production, ways to make it more environmentally friendly. And so they really are stepping up and being a true partner. And I think Michigan should and can do the same thing.
15 members on the committee. I know you would like to see several stakeholders involved. List some of those stakeholders. Tell me who would be on this committee.
Sure. We have a member from our iron mine, active iron mine, active nickel and copper mine. But we also made sure that, unlike Minnesota, we wanted two positions for environmental groups that have a background in mining to be at the table to make sure that they have a voice. We have one position for a member of a Native American tribe, and we also have two researchers from universities that we felt, they're really the partners. They're the ones helping make sure that we're in compliance, that we are going forward and doing it better with making sure that the environment is a top priority. And so, you know, having these people come together with our state department heads of the DEQ, the DNR, I think it's a well-rounded committee.
And appointed by the governor. Yes. What is that process?
So we won't know until the bill is passed, but assuming it gets passed both the House and Senate and goes to the governor to be signed, we'll start a 90-day period in which they will take applications and kind of review who would best be, you know, suited for this committee.
Also with us today on the panel from the governor's office is Mike Prusy. Mike, I'm curious from the perspective of the governor's office, what is the benefit to the state to create this kind of a committee?
Well, the governor has been indicated that she's very supportive of this concept. I think she's got a deep understanding because of how many times she's been in the UP. I think she understands how mining affects the economy, not just here in the Upper Peninsula, but across the state. So I think she's looking at it from the economic development standpoint, but as well as making sure that this committee is going to look at the environmental impact as well, and to ensure that current and future mining operations will be monitored and regulated, and so that the public can be assured the environment will be protected as well as the economy get a boost from it. So she's very interested in how many people are going to be on this, and I think there'll be an application process, and these different groups will put forth some names where she will get to select who will sit on the committee, and then as they advise her down the road, there'll be a lot of decisions to be taken, and I think this committee is going to provide valuable information for the governor.
You have a long background in mining here in our area as a former union representative and also with your work in the state legislature. From your personal perspective, why would something like this be important?
Well, I'm a third generation iron ore miner. The mines have created that prosperity in this part of the state that has allowed people to send their kids on to college, buy a summer camp to go to, take vacations. The wages paid by the mining industry are really critical to a healthy economy up here. And as someone who made a paycheck from the mines for over 20 years, and I'm still getting a pension, not a full pension because I didn't stay for my full 30, but I think the economic impact is critical to make sure that the service industries connected to the mining industry are prosperous as well.
As we continue on here, Clifford Smith is with us from Cleveland Cliffs, and I wanted to ask you from the business perspective, when we look at this from your company's perspective, what challenges is the industry facing now with mining, and how would something like this legislative package and this committee address that?
I think Representative Kimbinsey hit on some of those. It's the availability of power, the infrastructure in the region, and some of those are challenges. And frankly, mining has gotten a black eye over the years. It's not, while it's essential to the United States economy, it doesn't have a great reputation. We would like to improve that reputation through the collaborative effort because it's a capital intensive business. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of years to get things moving for a mining operation. Eagle's a good example. Mm-hmm. Took many, many years. Another example where working together with industry and legislators is the revitalization of the Sioux Locks. That's been on. That is key to the industry in this region and our mining operations. And support from the state of Michigan was instrumental in getting some funding for the Corps.
Well, Matt Johnson, also with us from Eagle Mine. I'm curious from your perspective with your company, how this would be an advantage and help with your operations.
Yeah, we see a great opportunity in the proposed legislation to really kind of create that dialogue about mining, the importance of mining in the state of Michigan, and really the importance of mining for our society. And, you know, where else is that conversation really taking place? You know, it might take place when you introduce a new mine to a community, which will always be controversial, you know, no matter where you want to establish a mine in the world, let alone in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And so having the opportunity to have a dialogue outside of the regulatory process or outside the permitting process creates an opportunity to bring awareness and education about what mining is and about what it isn't. You know, it's we mine in a very much a different way than we did even 15, 20 years ago.
Yes, I'm curious about that from both companies, but Matt, well, you have the floor here. Mining as an industry, over once it started here in our region to what we're doing now, has changed considerably. What has been done that is differently or is different by what you do with Eagle?
Yeah, I think the really big focus from a global perspective is sustainability. You know, and oftentimes I think we get tripped up on that word and what it actually means. How do you define sustainability? And it's no longer defining as just water protection or greenhouse gas emissions. It's also defined as, you know, how do you build capacity in your community? How to ensure that communities have access to fresh water, that your regulations are adequate. And that also then creates sustainability for the business, for the company as well, if they know that they're doing a good job in the environment and in the community. You know, where do we buy things? You know, as Clifford said, we're capital intensive. We spend a lot of money to keep our operations working. Is that money spent elsewhere in the world, or can we procure things locally to also help the local economy? So the big change is, you know, how we do that business from outside of our fence line, just not within the fence line of a mining operation.
This term sustainability can have some confusion, as you mentioned, and Sarah, I'm curious, you talk about sustainable mining sustainability. Those seem like dichotomy. It seems like a split thing. Tell me a little bit about that. Address that for me.
I think when we put the word sustainability into mining, it was how do we avoid the bust and boom cycles? How do we avoid, you know, going long periods of time not paying attention to it, or even thinking mining is a thing of our past, yet we still have active mines in the region. And so bringing more awareness, especially downstate where we have a big focus on high-tech manufacturing, the easier our lives have gotten, the more we've forgotten that we actually do need raw products, our natural resources to go into making them. And so making sure that we don't lose connection with where things come from and making sure that, you know, we know that we have over 100 years of ore left in the UP, and that's just what we know. But how do we make sure that over those 100 years, we are sustaining it in an environmentally sensitive way and not letting it go into cycles of kind of hibernation.
Right, keep it going.
True neglect,
yeah.
Yeah, keep it going over a period of time. Clifford, you mentioned there was a conversation here that this legislation or similar legislation was in Minnesota. Cliffs has major operations in Minnesota as well. Are there perspectives that you can apply to Michigan through working with this legislation in Minnesota?
Yeah, there's a couple examples. There's as some of those tax dollars are reallocated, there's improvement plans in our operations that are helped with some of that tax money. There's also test work that is performed. We do have a major lab here in our Michigan operations, but we also utilize the Minnesota Research and Development Lab. We're always looking for better ways to make pellets more desired by our steel mill clients and customizing those pellets for their blast furnace needs.
Mike, I'm curious from the governor's office perspective, a lot of the discussion here has to do with the economic development and continuing economic gain from mining. With this legislation, with this committee, if it is created, how would that work into the governor's overall agenda with continued economic development in Michigan?
Well, the seeds that are going to be planted by the work of this committee will probably grow a tree that shades a future governor. As we talked about the capital intensive nature and the length of time for the permitting and the construction or the development of a market, But it's not just about the governor getting some economic activity next month or next year. I think it's the long-term future of Michigan, and particularly here in the Upper Peninsula, that's contemplated by this legislation. So she's a long-thinking person. She's looking out over the horizon, and she understands that having a committee to advise her and advise her departments, whether it's the regulatory departments or MEDC, you know, if MEDC participates in this and sees the value of perhaps incentivizing the reopening of the Empire Mine, that's a more immediate benefit, but it's a long-term future of Michigan. It's not next year's future or a year and a half from now. It's 10, 12, 20 years out down the road.
As you look at that, both with Cleveland Cliffs and with Eagle, Clifford, what in terms of, there's a long history, obviously, of Cleveland Cliffs in our region.
Yes.
You're looking to continue that with something like this, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
How would it work? How would Cleveland Cliffs work in the context of a 15-member committee that looks at sustainable mining?
Well, we're wanting to collaborate with folks that have the same view of protecting the environment as well as moving ahead to be suppliers of raw materials to the steel industry. Mm-hmm. We're still working on our Empire permitting. We haven't gone pencils down on that. We want to have a shovel-ready project when we have the right client because it's a long-term plan. And anything that we can do with scrutiny and input from others will make our plan to restart Empire stronger.
Mm-hmm. And Matt, from the perspective of Eagle, it's a shorter history in our region. As you mentioned a moment ago, a new mine being more controversial than something that's established. We've seen that with Eagle's history. It was controversial when it came in. But you have been upfront as a company with the planned history, or at least the plan into the future of how many more years you expect to be able to mine certain areas. Mm-hmm. This seems to encourage to go longer than that. What would you say would be Eagle's role in collaboration with continuing?
Yeah, so going back to, you know, creating that dialogue and also then in that process creating a shared space where we can talk about some of these issues that become quite controversial and divisive. Instead of having people sit at opposite ends of the room or going back and forth and, you know, letters to the editor, you know, let's sit in the room and talk about some of those issues and can we find a path forward. Mm-hmm. Eagle Mine is a short-term mine compared to Cliffs. You know, we are scheduled to close in 2023. However, we're still spending a lot of money every year looking for more ore. We'd like to continue Eagle's operations, maybe not just at the Eagle Mine site, but somewhere else in the Upper Peninsula. Mm-hmm. And if our long-term view is to find more ore to continue our operations, then this committee becomes very important for that process.
Sarah, could you tell me a little bit about what the creation of the 15 people on this committee? You made a point to make sure that there are environmental groups represented and also Native American tribes in our area. Why, and then how would you identify who that is?
I think, you know, they've been kind of the backbone of the push that, you know, if we're going to have these things, we need to do them right. And we want to make sure that if we have them where we live, we want clean water. We don't want contamination or legacy costs. And it's bringing them kind of into the fold to say, as we go through planning for the future, here's our input. Here are the things that we want to make sure you keep at the forefront and, you know, remember as you're making your plans for either mining what you're currently mining or in the future.
Mm-hmm. And bringing those opinions to the table, then how do you feel that would help influence an overall comprehensive plan?
I think, you know, a lot of the groups I've talked to, you know, they're interested in the permitting process. I think there's an opportunity to learn, you know, just how stringent our mining requirements and laws are. And then where can we improve? You know, right now, when we put in Part 632 back in 2004, it was a unanimous vote, both sides of the aisle. Governor Granholm signed it into law, and other states have been looking at our law for metallic mining and saying, wow, they really set the bar high. Mm-hmm. And if we've missed something, I think our environmental friends would like to give some input. And, you know, hopefully from the other side, I think, you know, our mining companies would like to help educate them on, you know, here's just how strict accountability we have to have and are held to.
The bill had been voted out of the House Natural Resources Committee and then further review by the new Ways and Means Committee. Where is it? How is it doing? And how is it faring? Yep.
So we just had our first hearing in Ways and Means this past week, and we do expect it to be voted out next week. We didn't hear any concerns. Most of my colleagues are very sympathetic, and you know, once I've brought this to their attention, they said, "Wow, you know, we just assumed that everything was fine, and you guys are mining, and you're bringing us the ore, and we don't have to think about it much more." But when you really broke down to them, here are the things that we could do better. Here's what another state is doing. They got excited. You know, mm-hmm. they want to help.
Mm-hmm. With that, as you're talking with your colleagues, both sides of the aisle, and even in both chambers, are there perceptions about mining that they have that are incorrect or at least uninformed that you're looking to address with something like this?
I think, you know, for me, it's easy. I have all the active mines in my district.
Right.
You know, I grew up with our iron mines in my backyard, more so or less. So I feel very comfortable with what we're doing. I can say that it wasn't until I heard Dr. Stephen Kessler give a talk. He's a University of Michigan geologist. Mm-hmm. And he put the answer out right before Eagle was, or Lundin was to open the Eagle mine. Mm-hmm. If you don't want mining here, where the minerals are, that you use every day, do you have a right to demand that those minerals be mined elsewhere? And it really made me pause and think about, you know, everything that I use in my life daily that makes it easier. I'm a type 1 diabetic. I use test strips made of copper that actually read my blood sugar 4 times a day. I have a insulin pump made from precious metals. And, it really kind of made me say, I can either be fearful of mining and what could happen, or I could actually want to get involved and say, how do we do it, and how do we protect our environment and make our lifestyles modern at the same time? So I think that was a turning point for me to say, I want to be more involved, and I kind of want to be the best we can be. If we're going to mine here in the United States, let's do it right, but let's be the best.
What kind of accountability is in this? Is there any kind of measure that if this committee says this should be the process of something happening, okay, and Cleveland-Cliffs or Lundin or somebody is operating a mine in Michigan, and they don't follow what the committee may recommend, is there any accountability? Is there any process in that?
So this committee is just advisory. Mm-hmm. It does not have any powers to make laws or put anything binding in place. Mm-hmm. But what it will do, I think that's very beneficial, is it'll fully vet issues before they get to the legislature, before we are pushed in what typically happens, a very short time period, to make some big decisions on laws that really guide, you know, whether it's mining or other industries for a long period of time. And so I think the value in this is slowing down and saying, we do want to do it right. We want everyone at the table so that when we get to that point, if we want to change legislation, if we want to change the taxation structure, that we know that we've had all angles covered and that it is the best thing that we're putting forward.
If it does pass, and Mike, I'm curious, then it moves into the governor's realm to appoint these, then what happens? What's next?
I think the representative indicated earlier there's a 90-day clock that starts, and then we get this committee together. They have some charges on what they're going to look at, and I think within two years, they bring a report back to the governor. And you know, as Matt was indicating earlier, they're actively looking for more ore bodies. Cliffs has more ore bodies available. If you look at the geology of the Great Lakes Basin, there's minerals from Ontario around through Minnesota, northern Wisconsin, all the way into the Upper Peninsula. And there are two mines seeking permits on the west end already, and one in Gogebic, one in Menominee County. But they're poking holes. People are exploring and doing exploratory drilling and surveying to find the rest of the minerals that are still in this Great Lakes Basin. So I think the work of this committee is going to be integral to what's going to happen when they find these next ore bodies and which companies are going to make the investments.
And we have a couple of minutes left here, and I'd just like to ask both Matt and Clifford. Matt, I'll ask you first. It gets passed, then what? What happens with you, with the Lundin, and with Eagle?
Yeah, we look forward to working with the governor's office and on what type of representation she's looking for from our industry. Mm-hmm. And we'll go from there.
And Clifford?
Same for Cleveland Cliffs. You know, we want to have that open dialogue, like Matt mentioned, well ahead of any confusion or if we can work on through this committee to be welcomed into communities as a mining industry. That's really what will make it successful.
And Sarah, to wrap up, just to give you the last word on this legislation, how is it looking, and how do you feel it's going to fare?
I think it'll fare good. I do have a lot of optimism that it'll pass. And I think that goes back to, you know, how we started the process. We started by bringing everyone in. We started by, you know, meeting with local environmental groups that are concerned about mining. We also met with them down in Lansing. We met with the DEQ to say, you know, is this something that you feel would be beneficial to the department? We met with the governor's representatives. And so before we even brought the bill to committee, we probably had three to 4 months of meetings to just say, you know, this is the bill that was drafted. What do you think? What changes should we have? And we were able to make some amendments already that I think make it even a better bill than when we started.
Well, we will be watching it very closely, as it is important to our region. That is about all the time that we have for today on the program. I would like to take a moment and thank 109th District State Representative Sarah Cambenzi, as well as Mike Prusy, Director of Governor Gretchen Whitmer's Northern Michigan Office, Clifford Smith, the Chief Operating Officer of Cleveland Cliffs Michigan Operations, and Matt Johnson, Manager of External Relations at Eagle Mine. I'm Walt Lindela. Thanks for watching Media Meet.
The preceding program was produced in studios located in the Edgar L. Hardin Learning Resources Center by WNMU-TV, Northern Michigan University Public Television.